Hello, everyone, and welcome to the premiere debut. I guess that's really the same thing, isn't it? Premiere debut.
I guess so, but we're also going to be working our way through all yes. synonyms of yes, the yes. first.
Anyways, this is the Elegant Men of Leisure. I'm your host. Well, I'm your co-host, Dave. We're really using our real names, aren't we?
We should.
Wow. We're cocky bastards, aren't we?
Yeah, who are we hiding from?
Yeah. And this is Jason, who's yes. our master bartender. And, this is our first show, so, I think it'll be a collector's edition one day.
I think this should be numbered. If you're sitting in front of your computer right now, make a note of this, where you were when you first heard the Gentleman of Elegant Leisure. Yes, Elegant Leisure.
Elegant, yeah.
You must remember.
Yes. We may be stretching the adjective elegant a little thin, but, that's all right.
We're both festooned in purple.
That's cool. The royal colors.
Yes, what can be more elegant than that?
Of course. And what are we going to be making on tonight's show? Because it's all about booze, really.
It's all about booze. It's all about cocktails and the enjoyment of cocktails, hence the Elegant Leisure.
Mm-hmm.
I read it in a book, a wonderful book by David Wondrich called Imbibe. Mm-hmm. And there was a certain group of people that they referred to as the sporting fraternity. And these are guys that hung around all day drinking and gambling and sort of just a devil-may-care attitude. But this particular guy in San Francisco listed his occupation at the time as a gentleman of elegant leisure.
Or, as the audience may know it, a bunch of layabouts.
That's right.
But we like leisure better.
Yes.
Elegant men of leisure.
And of elegant leisure. And so to explore the world of elegant leisure, as far as saloon keeping goes, we thought that we would... We would sample drinks and comment on them and share them with you, the home viewer.
Mm-hmm. Or listener.
Or home listener. As
maybe it. Viewers, eventually. You might work a camera in here at
That's
some
right.
point.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Live stream. So you're going to make a sling?
Yeah, I thought I'd start with a sling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, I think, get into cocktail stuff, and they think that everything is relatively recent, but they've actually been around for quite a long time. And I had a look again in this wonderful book, David Wondrich. I can't credit him enough for this first episode of the gin sling.
Right.
There was also a brandy sling.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rum sling. There was a whiskey sling.
And why sling? Do we know?
I think they think it was because it was something you'd sling back.
Ah, okay.
Right?
It goes down easy.
Yes, exactly. And it was originally like a morning drink.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, of course.
You get
people drank with their coffee would have a cocktail.
That's right. In fact, it was probably more common to have this than a coffee because coffee involved a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's being imported.
Yeah.
It's been grind. Roasted, ground. Yeah. Nobody knows how long to put it in there for. So, this is to get you started on the day.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You'd have a couple of these and then head out to...
Head out to work or the golf course if you're a leisurely guy.
Yeah, or just to the bar.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so, yeah.
Are we going to get started?
Yeah, I can put this together.
Are you going to tell us the ingredients first or should you just want to work one ingredient at a time?
Well, this one, actually, no, we can do this one here as we're talking. This one's a nice, easy one, the gin sling. It was first mentioned around 1800, although I think you found a different date for that, didn't you?
Well, I was looking at the Singapore sling, although I did mention that the sling, Singapore sling, of course, mentions that it's based on an American drink of much earlier time, but it said it was developed sometime before 1915, according to Wikipedia, which can never be wrong. Because it's the internet.
Exactly. It's been fact-checked by children.
But they credit to a bartender at the Raffles Hotel in Singapore.
Right.
And it was, it's gin and had grenadine and fruit juices and icy. And I think it was, originally I think they made it more for the ladies. So, thanks for emasculating us on our very first podcast. But... No, I've always enjoyed a sling.
Well, that's interesting, because I think, that the Singapore sling came out of this, but the original sling is really quite different.
Hmm.
And I dare say, Dave, that you may not even like it very much.
No. Hmm.
So we're going to muddle...
might be my last show, my first and last, if I don't like this.
We'll muddle a teaspoon
mm-hmm.
of powdered sugar, fine grind sugar. We're going to muddle that with a little bit of water here. We're using some San Pellegrino because we're gentlemen of elegant leisure.
Of course.
And then the gin we're going to use for this is a Holland's gin, they call it. A Genever. And it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more of an earthy thing. It was the precursor to the London Dry Gin. But it's got its own unique, weird flavor profile. Mm. And I chose to do gin for you, Dave, because I know that you like gin.
Oh, I love gin. Yeah. It reminds me of my days back in advertising when, during the summer, every Friday, we would have a gin and tonic afternoon.
Right.
So we'd, we keep it simple with the gin and tonic. But, now we're going to get a little more sophisticated because we're elegant men of leisure.
Yes. And there's 2 ounces of this stuff.
2 ounces of the...
Of the Genever.
The Genever.
Mm. And we're using the Boomsma. See, it's a young Genever gin. You think this is our fourth show of the day?
Sounds like you've been drinking already. Just to ease the nerves a little.
Yeah, so it's going to be a strong one, Dave. Right. And I know you're not... Dave is not a big, big drinker.
No, I'm basically the guinea pig for this podcast. No, I admit I'm somewhat of a light drinker, but, this sounds kind of fun. And, you have a history of cocktails, so it's a good diabolical plan for both of us.
Yes, there's actually a good chance that this is going to be like a very sort of odd martini. Now, the thing that makes this really neat, actually, is that for the sling, which as it goes, so it's sort of after the revolution, right? It's early America, but America as America. And back then, you'd always want to have a little bit of nutmeg grated on things.
For health purposes, I imagine.
Exactly, because it is. It's a healthy drink here. It's
they're filled with antioxidants. It's your excuse. It's really for medicinal purposes.
I'll give you a little bit of nutmeg here.
Oh yeah, scraping that up.
And a little bit of nutmeg here.
Oh, this is quite a bit different than anything I've seen before.
Yeah, and nutmeg is so powerful. So, all right, Davey, this is for you. I would sip it gingerly because I think this flavor is going to be a little bit unique. So we're going back, folks. I'm sorry. I hope you followed along at home. Let me tell you again. Muddle a teaspoon of powdered white sugar with 1 ounce of water. Add 2 ounces of gin, maybe 3 ice cubes, and then grate some fresh nutmeg on top. And you're on a time travel trip back to 1800.
Cheers, mate.
All right.
There we go.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. That's actually smoother than I thought it was going to be.
It's super smooth.
Yeah. I was expecting a bit more of a bite.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's it. You've heard the conversion of a...
yeah, of a near teetotaler.
That's right, to a future...
future drunk.
Future alcoholic drunk.
Oh.
And if there's anybody that's underage that's listening to this, you probably should turn off your podcast right
there's
now.
There's plenty of other podcasts you can listen to. I'm sure Disney's got some sort of podcast, don't they?
Wow. Mm. That is a lovely drink.
Yeah. No, that was great. Refreshing?
It's surprisingly refreshing. Now, I wonder if we should try, just as a funny little experiment here, and just, I'm almost tempted to not.
Mm. You don't want to monkey with it. It's so good.
I don't want to monkey with it. But there was the gin sling, and then there was the gin cocktail.
Ah, right.
And the cocktail had this in it.
And what is that, Jason?
This is Angostura Bitters.
Mm. From the Caribbean, I would imagine?
Yes, a product of Trinidad and Tobago. Okay.
Known for their bitters.
Are they?
I think so.
Right. Did you go there when you were in the Caribbean?
No, I didn't. I didn't get the... I think they're a little further south than I was. I went on a trip to the Caribbean last summer, but I didn't get quite as far as that. Mm. The Bahamas is pretty much my limit there.
Well, we'll do a drink from the Bahamas next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
But this is...
That's nice.
This is very nice. And so I'm surprised that they would switch it. Now, what they said happened, as you sort of alluded to in your... In your... Did it say it was British?
It said it was American originally, back, sometime in the 17... Tested from 1790. It was described as a drink of gin, which was flavored, sweetened, and served cold.
Right.
It was just called the Gin Sling.
And that's what would do this. Yeah. So,
back to David Wundrich and his wonderful book, Imbibe.
Is he paying you to say this?
I'm not being coerced at all.
Okay.
But if it somehow fell way to his ears, yeah. I wouldn't want him to
Are
say.
Are you an Amazon affiliate? Is that what you're trying to do? It's...
Yes, I guess. I am an Amazon affiliate.
No.
And how he referred to it, because he's a great writer, and he says that as soon as a lot of these American drinks were shipped overseas, and he especially blames the British on this one, they would poke and prod them mercilessly.
Uh-huh.
And so things were added and subtracted and stuff. In most cases, he says it wasn't very good, but in one of the rare occasions where it really worked out was the Singapore Sling, which is what we're going to transgress, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Into, because the British reached with their far-flung empire to areas. And in Singapore, they ended up doing it, but adding elements of punch to it.
Right. Making it a little more tropical.
A little bit more tropical and more to what they've already had with punch in the previous 200 years because they were huge punch drinkers. So you add a little bit of citrus, you add a little bit of liqueur, and then suddenly you've got yourself a new drink. So it's, I don't even think you could even say it's based on a sling.
Oh, okay.
But it got with the sling. And so I thought it was going to be a tremendous difference between the Gin Sling to the Singapore Sling. But I'm really liking this Gin Sling. And the nutmeg makes it... I don't know. The nutmeg does something. You need the nutmeg. Holy cow. Yeah.
In fact, it said when it comes to Singapore Sling, according to the wonderful D.A. Embury, my guy.
Your guy.
Stated in The Fine Art of Mixing Drinks that of all the recipes published for the Singapore Sling, I have never seen any two that were alike.
Right.
So they're all over the map.
And the one we're going to be doing is from the Singapore Cricket Club.
Ah.
Who refused to serve it.
Just to spite their members.
That's right.
Wow.
Apparently, it was so touristy and so tacky to go to Singapore and ask for the Singapore Sling.
So they said no.
They said, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. But, of course, their younger members were like, well, yeah, we want it. It's our club. It's our bar.
We're men of leisure.
We're men of leisure.
Yeah.
We want to have the Singapore Sling as it's being served. And they found references to it as a pink sling or just a sling. And it, again, it was these guys that would come out early in the morning. Usually with it's like a hangover cure. In fact, it was an everything cure. Pretty much.
Like I said earlier, it's medicinal use.
It's medicinal. And so they refer to the guys in these dark corners looking for just the absence of light and a sling to get themselves started.
And that tradition has continued today.
To this very day, to this very moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
Wow. And so it has the addition in it. I'll open up a couple of these bottles here before we make it. It's got cherry liqueur in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this wonderful little guy here, Benedictine, which is a sort of a hard guy to find in our neighborhood here. We're in Vancouver, British Columbia, and it's...
the heart of the Pacific Rim.
Heart of the Pacific Rim, but a little bit more difficult to get some of your products here. But there's a wonderful liquor store, again, not affiliated. The Legacy Liquor Store had Benedictine.
Nothing to do with the Benedictine monks.
I believe it is.
Oh.
I should have done a little bit of research onto this. Is there a blurb?
They may have put that together, mixed that together.
Distilled and mellowed in an extravagant palace located in, I can't read that, Fécamp, France, the Normandy region.
Mm-hmm.
Benedictine is a subtle alchemy of 27 different herbs and spices. The colonel only has
eight. Wow.
Made from a secret recipe dating back to 1510.
What?
It has a distinctive aroma of spices and citrus with hints of fresh flavor notes mellowed by a touch of honey and a memorable experience for your senses. Mm. And so this is a wonderful thing made by French monks in a prison somewhere in France. I'm kidding, it's not in a prison. But this is the kind of stuff that the British were adding to their to their cocktails that was going against what maybe should have been the case.
And shortly thereafter, the Revolutionary War broke out. All over how drinks were mixed.
Oh, we'll get you! And so, shall I make it this year?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's move on to drink Sling number two.
And now you said that it was made at the Raffles Hotel.
Well, yeah, that's, and I think that's the common legend, isn't it? But you say different.
I say different. I say that is a well-run bell.
Yeah?
Because it says...
In whose book, Jason?
In the wonderful David Wundrich book, Imbibe.
Uh-huh.
Go out and buy this.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the Raffles Hotel has gotten away for years, saying that it was made in 1915 or thereabouts. But it's simply not true, because it says here that the drink was universal in Singapore from at least 1897, when one of the papers made the observation that the settlement goes about morning after morning with a woebegone appearance, very much at a discount, seeking slings and dark corners where the light will not affect their eyes.
Wow.
And so that was 1897.
Okay.
And so I think they had one there, but I don't believe it was the first one.
Hmm.
And so I think they still sell one there.
Right.
And imagine if you went to Singapore, you might as well go to the Raffles Hotel. Mm-hmm. They probably make a great one.
Yeah.
As I say, this one here is going to be from the Singapore Cricket Club. Much to their chagrin.
Mm.
And it's great because it's got an ounce. Let me grab this little guy here.
If we get hate mail, we'll know who it's from.
That's right. Sorry to all you folks out there in Singapore, but...
The cricket club's already on the phone. They're furious with us. Well, we're not going to answer. We've got a podcast to finish.
Exactly. So we're going to do an ounce of the cherry brandy. We're only going to do a half ounce of the Benedictine. The original one called for an ounce, but then we're going to back it off a little bit.
Okay.
Half an ounce of this, my friend. Already it's looking good. This one doesn't call for the Jennifer gin, although it'd be fun to try it with it. But we're going to go with the London Dry gin, the more traditional one.
Mm-hmm.
And then to quench that unbearable Aussie thirst, slake it, we're going to put in the super secret ingredient, which, of course, is the lime juice.
Oh. Get a vitamin C.
Yeah, it's a healthy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And a few dashes of our wonderful Angostura bitters. There's so many bitters out there now, but the Angostura, they're always a good go-to one.
In fact, in a future podcast, we're going to talk about the bitter I brought you from the Czech Republic.
Exactly.
So stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. This is only you're in this for the long haul. Let's throw some cubage in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to top this guy up with the Pellegrino. And that's what lightens it up enough to give it the pink sling idea. And we'll stir this guy up. Neither of these drinks today were shaken. These are both the building drinks.
So James Bond wouldn't really care for it. That's what you're saying?
Exactly.
Stirred.
He never said, build me a drink.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come. And so this will be a super amount of refreshment. Mm-hmm. On a hot, sweltering Singapore day, Dave.
Mm. Yeah, well, we're getting close to summer, not too far off. Well, it's a few weeks, but, it's been a pretty warm spring, so.
Oh. There we go, sir.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Well, take us now to 1915-ish.
Uh-huh. Ish.
Although I think this recipe, I think I chased this one down to about 1914.
Oh. The start of the war.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The Singapore sling should be quite different from the original sling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite a bit different.
Yeah.
It's got a more of a, it's more pungent. It does have a bit of a fruitiness to it. I don't know. That's probably the cherry.
Yeah, the cherry's going to give it a lot of fruitiness.
Yeah.
And then the lime, of course, is going to give it a little bit of bite. Mm-hmm. And I'm just stirring this up a little bit more. Because I think this one, if I was to do this at home, I think I would do it with a shaker just to chill the hell out of it.
Yeah. And it's got that slightly syrupy kind of taste you expect from a sweetened drink, like a grenadine base or something like that.
Yeah.
Unlike this, which the first one, which was much more mellow, you didn't have any. It was much lighter, effervescent kind of taste to it. Mm.
Yeah, but it sort of leads into almost the...
Yeah, I don't know which one I like better.
I'll finish them both if you're really going to push me.
That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So the Singapore slang is really not a sling. It's really more of a long punch.
Huh. Yeah, this is more of a more punchy tasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think with the club soda topping it up, of course, that's going to it dilutes the flavors a little bit too. Whereas as the original sling here is almost a, other than the ounce of water in there to cut that gin. Mm. But yeah, if I go back to the original sling here,
yeah, let me try. Let me go back to the original too.
I'm just amazed at how smooth that is.
Yeah.
And then as you get that hint of nutmeg on your nose.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. You might want to brush it off.
Sorry. Yeah, it's fat. Normally, I'm covered with flour.
Yeah. Well, that was excellent, Jason.
Yeah, I hope that you've made these at home. I'll give you the recipes again, and they'll be posted on our website, gentlemenofelegantleisure.com. But I really thought there was going to be such a discrepancy that one would be like a favorite and one would be...
It's pretty much a draw, I think. Yeah, I don't know. They're very distinct and yet both delicious.
But they're
coming from a guy who doesn't drink that much, too.
Exactly. And I do like it. I like the time machine element of it. I like being able to go back, that this is basically what they were drinking. I mean, everything's changed probably a little bit, but overall, it's the same. And to a different time when you had time for
drinking,
for copious alcohol drinking.
Yeah, yeah. We're trying to bring that back as best we can. Yeah, we're all encouraging and responsibility, of course. Be responsible,
of course.
You know, still be a leisurely guy.
Yes, elegant, leisurely.
Yeah,
and you know, what we should do before we do sign off today is we'll try the we'll throw a squirt of the Angostura into the gin sling to turn it into the gin cocktail.
Okay. That's a good idea.
But I'm going to have another sip of this.
Yeah, of course.
Have you got any more trivia on the Singapore sling?
Not really. It says, according to the IBA, I don't know what I assume that's the International Bartenders Association.
I think that sounds
They said, insane. Yeah, it's made with gin, well shaken with ice, often with a cherry or pineapple garnish, which we didn't do. We skipped that.
But we did, unfortunately.
That's all right. Served generally in a hurricane glass.
Right.
Is that what your wonderful guy tells you to? Does he tell you what to serve it in?
I don't think I think that would be the greatest presentation for sure. We've just done it in a regular, nice glassware because I think he said to build it. Oh, I can't find it now. Vamp. Build in a Collins glass. So that's,
Yeah.
And so it's not shaken in this original one, but I think the shake would give it that extra bit of chill. Or you could really stir it. I mean, I didn't stir it quite enough, perhaps, until that second stir. But it's interesting too because there was apparently people that would put claret,
which is
a red wine.
Oh, okay.
They would put that into it to give it the pink color instead of the cherry brandy, or they would use slow gin.
Oh,
which is the gin, but with the slow berries that have been steeped in it, which is what we used for that Trader Vic sling, which I was almost tempted to include into this, but I thought it would be too much.
We have to get home tonight, that's why.
To go from a gin sling to the Singapore sling, but the Trader Vic sling has slow gin in it, and we'll try that on a future episode.
Oh, good.
Where we'll do a few of those, because there's some great recipes from the Trader Vic's folks, and... I think that'd be neat. The other thing that was kind of interesting is that there's a cherry brandy-esque thing called Kirschwasser.
Sounds German.
It does sound German.
Kirschwasser.
For that or I'm having a stroke. And it's clear. Mm. I don't know if it's like an eau de vie, but it's certainly a clear thing. But when David Wondrich in his amazing book Imbibe did his research, they talked about pink slings, and the only thing that's going to give it that pink color is either going to be the cherry liqueur, cherry brandy, the slow gin has that color to it, or of course the claret as the red wine would give it the pink. And I would imagine in a clear...
I imagine red wine would change the texture, the flavor quite a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't
know. I don't know how much you put into it, but I think that's...
Well, that's what we got to research next. That's our homework, ladies and gentlemen. We got to find a claret and see what that would be.
Yeah.
Because you'd think it would be certainly drier than what the cherry liqueur was.
You'd think so.
Maybe you'd add it, but maybe you'd put a little bit of sugar syrup or something like that in there.
There you go.
What does your recipe call for?
It's got gin, cherry liqueur, Cointreau. Is that how you...
Oh, so it's got Cointreau. So that's an orange flavored liqueur.
Okay, but it does mention the Benedictine, the grenadine, pineapple juice, fresh lime juice, and the Angostura.
Okay, so and that one there, yeah. Well, as they say, there's a million different recipes for this one. We've just done this classic one from them. So if you want to get into the Singapore Cricket Club, this is like their secret handshake. You're going to give them the old...
Yeah, the recipe.
Cherry brandy, Benedictine, London dry gin, and lime juice and bitters. And they're going to let you in and say, you know what? Terribly sorry, old chap. They normally wouldn't let you in, but since you've given us the old eyeball...
Yeah, no. Sling is one good drink.
Yes. Yeah, no, we're a couple of Sling fans. In fact, we might change the title of the podcast to The Gentlemen of Slings. Slings and Arrows. Oh, well, let's try this here.
Yeah, because, you're going to try. Aren't you going to try that?
We're going to turn the gin sling into a gin cocktail with the addition of a couple of shots of the Angostura. But smell that. What do you think of that smell there?
It does have that sort of clove, cinnamon, spicy, you know, what you kind of expect from a...
People will put this into soup. They'll put it into all sorts of stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see it going with quite a few different things.
So we're going to put a shot in here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, put a shot in here.
Gives it a little color from the...
It does. I think sometimes a lot of drinks that had a little bit of color also received it from this. There's a Jersey Sunset, I think, has Angostura in it. And it gives it that pink color that, you know, you might be searching for in your Singapore sling, too. So now with the addition of some bitters to make it into a healthy drink.
Yeah.
One more cheers.
Cheers.
Excellent.
Oh, that kicks it up a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a bit of a bite. A little bit of a bite, but not too much. Not as much as you expect. It's still fairly smooth, but with that bit of the spiciness of the bitters.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's funny because it does almost make it more medicinal. Like
it
changed,
does.
It changed it.
Changed.
Now it's good for you. Yeah. It's got some bitters in it.
You just keep telling yourself that while you're drinking. It's just really for my health.
That's right.
Yeah.
The doctor told me I had to have two or three of these before I even go to work.
Exactly, because they started in the morning.
There's an old phrase where somebody says that they're taking their bitters.
Uh-huh.
They had to have that in the morning. And this was the best way to do it. It's easy.
Yeah.
To have them straight is tough.
Yeah.
The best is to mix it with a little bit of gin.
Yeah.
And to chill it so it's not too jarring.
Yeah, exactly.
Grate some nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
And a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And it certainly helps this go down.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
Mm.
Excellent. Well, we've done three drinks. We started out with two, but we turned it into three, but with the addition of Angostura bitters to to the gin sling.
So, do you want to tell us about any of the upcoming... No, you don't know. You're giving me a strange look. We don't know.
Oh, what, the future episodes? Oh,
there's so many cocktails.
Well, not that. Now we got to do the Trader Vic sling.
Right.
We could stick on slings for a long time. We're going to explore cocktails both old and new. How does that sound?
How about mid-century?
We got mid-century okay, mixing glasses.
I'm big on the mid-century.
Of course you're big on the mid-century. And I hope that you will stick with us and enjoy the drinks along with us here. I'm going to give you these recipes again real fast now. The gin sling, 1 teaspoon of powdered white sugar, muddled in 1 ounce of water. Add 2 ounces of Holland's gin if you can, because that is the good stuff. And 2 or 3 ice cubes. Grate the fresh nutmeg. There has to be fresh nutmeg on this to make it original. And you will thank yourself for it because the flavor that nutmeg gives, you know, a lot of your taste is actually done with the nose, the olfactory glands there.
Mm-hmm.
And they add to that. And you will have that. Then to turn that into a cocktail, throw in a couple of dashes of your Angostura bitters. And that is good too. Then later on that same day, you do your Singapore gin sling. I'll give you my recipe, then Dave can give him the recipe that he found. This one here is 1 ounce of cherry brandy. We used cherry hearing today. 1/2 ounce of Benedictine,
an ounce and a half of London dry gin, 3/4 ounce of lime juice, and a few dashes of bitters, and you put that over ice, and then you top up that glass with sparkling water. And drink it with a straw if you can, because that is the ultimate cooler on a hot, hot Singapore day. Mm-hmm. And yours differed, your Singapore sling differed with the addition of, well, what are the measurements on there? They've got cubic liters on yours.
Yeah,
there.
They got cubic. I'm going to confuse everybody now, aren't we?
I don't know if we want to give out.
We might have to set up like a calculator on our website so people can transfer into different measurements.
Yeah, well, here, we'll turn the cubic liters into gigantic ounces. So this is going to be for a big drink, or maybe a drink you can share with your friends. You're going to want 3 ounces of London dry gin. You're going to want 1.5 ounces of a cherry liqueur, like we have here, the cherry hearing. You're going to want 3/4 ounce of Cointreau, that orange liqueur. 3/4 ounce of the Benedictine. You've got 1 ounce of grenadine. That's a lot of grenadine. That'll sweeten it up there for you. 12 ounces of pineapple juice. So they're foregoing the water completely here. They're turning it into a pineapple juice drink, with the 1.5 ounces of lime juice and the dash of Angostura bitters. I think that'd be a nice drink, too. We should try that one another time. Maybe we'll try that one when we go up against the Trader Vic's sling, because that one is quite loaded. But we'll have them on the website there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jason.
And the secret of the sporting fraternity, the gentleman of elegant leisure, is that the guy would carry himself in a way that you didn't know whether he had money or not. Because quite often
that's the way we carry ourselves.
Exactly. And so if it meant that you used your last bit of money to buy yourself a fine drink, get your coat brushed, and tip the guy that did it, you did it.
Wow.
And so
that's classy.
That is classy. Yeah. And to sign off today, Dave, all I can say is tip big.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. We'll see you next time on the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.